I want to go to Disney World.
I want to go on the Haunted Mansion.
I want to ride Splash Mountain.
Have your kids decided it's time to book your next trip to Disney? Save yourself the stress of planning and booking that trip by calling Jimmy and Kim over at Once Upon a Time Travel. They will help you with any questions or concerns, and then book your Disney vacation free of charge. Contact Jimmy and Kim Horn on Facebook at Once Upon a Time Travel or at onceuponatimetravel@yahoo.com.
Hey everybody, it's Stacy from Must Do Disney, and you are in the place to be, the Disney Nerds Podcast. Check it out.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast. A place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
The Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome back to the Disney Nerds Podcast. I'm Sam from Sam's Disney Diary. Thank you for joining us for a wonderful adventure. I have with me Ed from the Maz Disney blog. Ed, what is happening?
Hey, Sam, how's it going?
It is great. And this week, a special guest and friend of the show who I happened to be able to walk around Disneyland at Christmas time back in show number 162. And we did some phenomenal Christmas adventures at Disneyland, including Small World Holiday. The creator of the Muppet Cast, Steve Swanson. Welcome back, my friend.
Hey, man, how you doing?
I am doing great. Thank you. What is happening in sunny Southern California? Florida's all rain here recently.
Well, Florida's always rain, right? That's how it goes. No, it's great, man. A bunch of stuff's been going on. I've been able to get out to the parks occasionally, you know, once, twice a week, something like that. Not very often.
Oh, yeah, once or twice a week.
You know, just everything. Life is good. L.A. is fun. The beach is great. I'm in a couple bands keeping busy. So, yeah, I can't complain.
Thanks for taking some time to chat with us then. I appreciate that.
Oh, my pleasure.
So a little bit sort of behind the scenes of why we asked you on. That there's a lot of cool things happening at Disneyland this summer, from D23 to some other cool things. And a few of us here at the Disney Nerds decided that we're going to head out that direction to Disneyland, and we were looking for somebody familiar with Walt Disney World and Disneyland that could sort of give us some of the, what do I need to do? What's my must do at Disneyland when I walk in the door and I've never been that and I'm from Florida? So with that, Ed's headed out that way. I'm going to side a step back, and we're going to let our listeners listen to you guys have sort of that conversation. Where do we start?
Where do we start? I tell you what, can we start outside the park before we get inside the parks?
Yeah, let's do that. That's actually a very good place to start.
Okay, because it is a lot different than Florida. Everything is right there.
It is right there. And the big difference, Ed, that you'll notice is downtown Disney in Florida. Well, okay, Disney Springs.
Disney Springs, yes.
Disney Springs, that's fine. It's optional when you go to Florida, right? It's not something you necessarily have to hit. Of course, there's a lot of fun stuff, and I know you guys have talked at great length about a lot of things you can do there, but it's not an option here. It's still called Downtown Disney, and you pretty much have to walk through it if you're going to go to the parks. Now, okay, that kind of depends on where you're staying. If you're staying at the Grand Californian, which I would recommend, or if you're staying at the Disneyland Hotel, which I would also recommend, you will have to walk through Downtown Disney to get to the parks. However, just across Harbor Boulevard, there are a lot of other really great hotels. Some of them are Disney Good Neighbor hotels. Some of them are just good hotels on their own merits, but not really associated with Disney. But the great thing I love about all these hotels, and Ed, the thing that you're going to love more than anything when you come out here is, you can walk from your hotel room to the parks. You don't have to take a Disney bus.
Oh, I'm so looking forward to that.
I mean, I was flabbergasted the first time I came out here that I could get out of bed, get ready, get my clothes on, and from my hotel door, I could be in the parks in 20 minutes on my own 2 feet, on my own steam. So that in and of itself, the fact that you don't have to basically hoof it an hour in between each Disney destination is a huge difference, and I think it's a really great one. It was really exciting for me. But if you're staying at one of the Disney hotels, they are sort of right connected to the downtown Disney area, and you'll have to walk through that area to get down to the parks. Mm-hmm. So it's not, and downtown Disney is not as big as Disney Springs, and Disney Springs is even bigger now, so
right.
It's really not as big.
Right.
But I like the energy of our downtown Disney here. It is different, but there's just a lot of really cool things. You'll see some similarities. We have a Ride Makers here. Remember when they used to have that out in Florida?
Sure.
There's some great Disney artwork stores. They have some great sort of, not exactly this, but they're the equivalent of like street musicians set up in downtown Disney, and they're playing and they're singing, and there's a guy who I don't know if he's a magician or whatever, but he's always got a big crowd, and he's always telling fun stories, and he gets kids involved, and it's a good time. And there's a couple, you know, great restaurants and bars all just around the walkway there. But you've got to walk through that to get to the parks area, the two parks. And before we get into the two parks, the last thing that's really, really cool about Disneyland as opposed to Disney World is the two parks, you know, Disneyland and Disney's California Adventure, are directly across from each other. You can walk from the exit to Disneyland to the entrance of Disney's California Adventure in 30 seconds. Again, wow. No buses.
And that's right? If you stop to take a picture in the center there, which is really
And
cool.
That's true. Yeah.
Now, I tell you what, do you do a lot of hopping between the two parks?
I do. Everyone does here. That's the great thing about it, is you don't have to think of, okay, I'm going to spend the morning in Magic Kingdom and then hop on the bus around 3 o'clock after the parade and go over to Epcot. And you don't have to plan that. You can say, okay, I'm going to go hit the single rider line for Radiator Springs over in DCA, and then I'll come back and see what the Haunted Mansion line's like in Disneyland. And you just, it's not a consideration. It's just, it's one great big playground that just has two distinct sections to it.
And you know the Disneyland app they have, the My Disney Experience, I guess, version? It mm-hmm. does have the map all on one page. So you're basically scrolling up and down the map as if it is one big park.
Well, and that's true. And the line wait times for that app are very reliable. I use that app probably more. I used to have the Lines app, and it's a good app. It's actually, that's a really useful app for Florida. I actually wound up using the Disneyland app more than the Lines app out here. That was just me. Mm-hmm. But there's a few different kind of apps you can use. But the other reason that I really like the Disneyland app, and even if you're just coming out here to visit on vacation, you can purchase your passes, even just plain old park tickets, and you can enter them into the Disneyland app using your Disney account. So when you walk through the turnstiles, you can just bring up your ticket on your phone, and they scan your screen. And you're
nice.
You don't have to go fumbling through your wallet. You know, I have a theory about that. I think, you tell me if I'm wrong here, I think Disney knows that it was a good idea to make tickets that look an awful lot like a credit card so that you're already used to reaching in your wallet from the second you get in the park, right?
Yeah, hard to prove you're wrong there.
Uh-huh.
That's good. You know, the other part I'll add to that, Steve, because you talk about jumping from Disneyland to California Adventure with downtown Disney right in the middle. You can do something in the morning, have lunch downtown, and then go to DCA and then back to Disneyland. So that's all one big area. You don't really...
It's great.
You can do any of that. You couldn't even consider that in Walt Disney World. Right? Walt Disney World has the beauty of size, but the curse of size, too, because you have to go places versus just being able to walk between these things. So it's different. Is one better than the other? No, they're different, and you need to experience both.
And that's it. Yeah, I would. And you know me, I've been to Florida more times than I can count. But I wouldn't ever say that Florida is better than California or vice versa. They're just different. They're two different children, and I don't love either one more than the other. Even though I did choose to move closer to one.
Okay, so one last question before we get into the park. And the tickets I've got, we got through the mail, so we're going to be actually getting the tickets once we get to the park. Where are the will call windows?
That's a great question. So the ticket booths are also just located right in the middle between the two parks. Mm-hmm. And some of them are booths that you, I think this is correct. I'm just kind of going off my observation. Some of the windows are ticket purchase windows and some of them are will call windows, but that's where you will go is, and it's very obvious, the ticket booths in between the two parks.
Okay, cool. The plan is actually to go Monday night. So we're going to go figure out the tickets Monday night, go to Downtown Disney, hang out for a little while, then go back to the hotel, hang out, and then Tuesday morning we'll be starting.
Yeah, when are you getting in?
We're actually getting to California on Sunday, hanging out, and then we're going down to Anaheim Monday night.
Okay, all right. Well, the other cool thing about Downtown Disney area, I mean, it's smaller than Florida, but there's so much to do. And the other cool thing that I really like, and Sam, you'll be shocked about this, but I love that there's always a live band playing. Yeah. Like, they have a really cool stage, and there are all different kinds of bands. Like, even in the last week, I've seen a country western band. I've seen a blues band. I've seen, I'm sort of a Beatles fan. They've had Beatles tribute bands, like the ones that, you know, dress up like the guys. There's all kinds of great music, and it's always happening. Especially, it's right over there by the ESPN. It's not ESPN Zone. Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. Yep.
The complex is down in Florida. So it's ESPN Zone here. And we also have an Earl of Sandwich. So I get my holiday sandwich.
Yep. Nice.
Which is awesome.
Yes.
And by the way, that ESPN Zone is phenomenal, and it is way better than Florida's. Let's just leave it at that.
So you'll love this, Sam. So for the NCAA football championship game, I got a table right in front of the giant, like, Megatron screen. I don't know how I lucked into that table.
Nice.
But that was, like, one of the best nights I've ever spent at Downtown Disney. Their ESPN Zone is phenomenal.
Awesome. I'll have to try to check that place out. Okay, so let's get into the park. Now, are you a rope drop type of touring type guy, or do you kind of go leisurely?
No one in California is rope drop.
Nobody in California. Well, okay, but...
unless you're the tourist, unless it's...
Having said that, let's hear the caveat.
No, here's the thing, is when I first moved out here, a year and change ago, in Florida, I'm a rope drop guy. You have to be. You really want to be. Well, not everyone, but I wanted to be. And so I love the big show in front of the Magic Kingdom and the train coming through and the song and the characters and they throw the confetti and yay! And there's the countdown and you go in and you stand in line. But here, there's not much of a show. The cast members don't all come out and sing and dance around. There's not a big production. It's just, the appointed hour rolls around, the gates open, and people start pouring in. So there's less ceremony around that, I'll say.
Right.
But apart from that, and again, it's because I live here and I'm a local here now, but I'm not as concerned with going from rope drop to the kiss goodnight. You know, I've done that several times in Florida, and it's one of my favorite things to do there still. It's just another instance where it's different here. And probably for me, because I'm a local, were I visiting as a tourist, I would probably want, because I would have limited time, I would still want to do the rope drop to fireworks kind of thing. And I would totally recommend if that's what you're interested in doing, you should absolutely do that because it's a great experience.
That's the plan.
Yeah, I've only been, this is crazy, I can't believe I did this, but I've only been in Disneyland from open to close one time, and that was last summer on July 4th.
Wow.
The worst possible.
Hell of a day, yeah.
Right? But here's what's crazy. So I live a reasonable distance away from the park. It's honestly not too far. So I walked to Disneyland that morning. It's less than a couple miles for me. So I figured, you know what?
Nice.
It's going to be easier to walk there, even though I normally drive, but the traffic is going to be horrendous. They have a huge parking garage. And getting in and out of that garage on July 4th, I don't even want to mess with that. So I'm just going to walk it. And I did. And all day long, there was hardly anyone there. And I was so surprised because, I mean, you've heard the horror stories.
Sure.
I've heard the horror stories. It's, you don't want to be in Epcot on July 4th. Right. You just don't.
Close the park.
Yeah, exactly. So all day long, the line, I could walk on every ride, and I'm looking around going, what is going on here? Well, what was going on was everyone waited until about 8 p.m. to descend upon the parks.
Fireworks.
That's right. It was the most crowded I've ever been on Main Street. I mean, I'm a tall guy. You know, I'm 6'4", reasonably wide shoulder frame, and I'm squished in the middle of Main Street watching a great fireworks show, admittedly. But, you know, that's like, you don't really need to do the all-day-long kind of thing if and you live here, because you can just come back next Thursday if the lines are too long.
Sure, sure. Which would be nice.
So all of that said, keep your memories of that Magic Kingdom show, because we lost that in Walt Disney World. But that's another topic for another day.
Yes.
Okay, so let's start out with Disneyland. Might as well start with that park first. Okay. And we've got a three-day hopper pass. And basically what comes with that three-day hopper is you get one morning of extra magic hours, which we'll probably take advantage of with Disneyland itself. But forgetting that whole part, not doing those magic hours, we are going to rope drop. So now I figure we're going to come into the park. Main Street might not be the big draw for us initially, but definitely on the way back out, we're going to take a look at it. So I tell you what, let's go, I guess, through the park, different sections, and kind of give me some of the things I might not want to miss. I guess starting with Main Street, and then you can work which way you want around the park, whatever way you would want to go.
Okay, so if we're coming in first thing in the morning, this is no different from Florida, go to Peter Pan. I don't know why, I don't know how, but it has just as inexplicably long of a line wait as Florida does. And it's a little different. You know, we don't have the big fancy schmancy queue that Florida does, and I wish we did, but we don't. Because, again, you guys have the blessing of size. But it's still a long line, but it's a great ride, and it gets you right into Fantasyland, you know. And Fantasyland is one of my absolute favorite places in Disneyland. It's so much more compact. That's what you'll notice. Everything is built in right next to each other. It's like a jigsaw puzzle, and it's done very well that way. But I mean, you hit Peter Pan, you hit Pinocchio, Snow White, Mr. Toad. We still have Mr. Toad.
You still have Snow White, by the way. Snow White.
We still have Snow White. Yes, Snow White's very good too.
Alice in Wonderland.
Yep, that's just over around the corner. And you know what? Honestly, right after you do Peter Pan, go do Alice, because that one also kind of gets a long line. But then the rest of them are more average kind of line wait times. So you do that whole little corridor of Fantasyland there, all those little those beautiful little dark rides.
Right.
Maybe do the teacups if you haven't, you know, eaten recently. And and then make a left and go over and do the Storybook Canal boats. If you've never done the Storybook Canal boats, and this is kind of for everyone listening too, if you haven't done them before and you come out here, do it once, and then you'll enjoy it and you won't need to do it again.
You're absolutely right. It's a great ride. It's a great little, wow, this is cool.
It really is. But I rode it one time. 2 years ago now, almost. Wow, the first time I ever came out here was 2 years ago. I rode the Storybook Canal boats just an afternoon by myself, and I've never done it since. It's very nice, but it's kind of, there's no moving parts to it. It's all little miniature scenery pieces from different Disney movies. So that's cool to see. But the real reason that you turn left to go towards Storybook Canal boats is to keep going to get to Small World. And our Small World is different from yours and very, very cool. I love both of them dearly. Small World is actually, if I go to the parks, there's usually like a trifecta that I hit, and that is Pirates, Mansion, and Small World. And I love the Small World for a lot of interesting reasons, but one of the funniest things was when I first came out here a couple years ago, just visiting, no idea that I was going to move here at the time. but slowly becoming swayed to that decision. Okay, so you know when you wait in line for Small World in Florida, where is it that you wait? You wait inside of a building, right? There's a roof over your head because it's Florida and it's just about to rain. I don't care when it is.
If not, it will. Just wait.
Right. Out here, the line is just outside. And I turned to my my good friend who brought me out here while we were waiting in Small World's line and said, why are we standing outside? What if it rains? And he just chuckled because this is Southern California. It doesn't rain. So Small World is a very different experience because of that. We also have some Disney characters kind of sewn into the fabric of the ride now. And we even have some original set pieces. We have some signs and some artwork from Mary Blair. It's still there in the ride. It's been, preserved, and there's a lot of TLC that's gone into maintaining those pieces, but I love Small World for that, just for the history of it.
Here's what I have to add to that history. This It's a Small World in Disneyland is the 1964 World's Fair It's a Small World that Walt worked on. This is the attraction that was at the World's Fair that was then moved to California that opened in 1966. Mm-hmm. This is the one. What's in Florida is a replica. This is the original It's a Small World.
This is the one.
That's how you have to look. This is the one when you get off, you say hi, Bob, at the end because of the song. This is It's a Small World.
Yes.
Now, I do remember a couple years ago when they threw those extra characters in there, they integrated the characters into the different parts of the Small World. Has that kind of gone over? Is that like an accepted thing now, or is that kind of...
Yeah, good. It's all part of the furniture now. It's great.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And actually, it really has plussed the ride in a very endearing way. And not only that... A fun little thing that you can look for in the ride, and this is for anyone who happens to come out to Disneyland and ride It's a Small World. So you've heard of Hidden Mickeys. We've all heard of Hidden Mickeys. We look for them everywhere we go in the parks.
Yep, of course.
There is a hidden Charlie Brown on Small World.
What?
I kid you not.
Okay, what kind of Charlie Brown? Are we just looking for a round blockhead, or are we looking for...
Well, yeah, you'll see the round blockhead with the little curly Q hair in the front on his forehead. I'm not going to tell you where he is, but we'll be looking. Keep an eye out because he is there.
Is he one of the characters, or is he small, hidden somewhere in the...
He is... Okay, I'll give you that. He is not an animatronic.
Okay,
no.
Thank you.
There are some surfaces that are just like painted things, like little pieces of artwork or postcards or things like that. And you'll find him on one of those. He's a 2D representation. And if you're not looking for him, you're not going to see him. But if you're looking for him, there's a pretty decent chance you'll find him.
Excellent. Definitely be looking for him.
Yeah.
Okay. So we finished Small World.
We did. And since we're over at Small World, once you get off the ride and exit through the requisite gift shop, you will...
Which is a legitimate gift shop, by the way.
I mean, right. It is.
Unlike
Florida. It's a good gift. As gift shops go, it's a good one. Yes. Yep. But as you exit that gift shop, there's a couple things you'll want to do. Optionally, and I highly recommend this, there's the Fantasy... I think it's called the Fantasyland Theater that's just across from the Small World ride. And that's where Mickey and the Magical Map, the stage show, is going on. We don't really have a lot of stage shows out here. Our castle does not have a gigantic stage built into the front of it. Go check out Mickey and the Magical Map. It's a great show. It's a beautiful stage. It's great scenery, good music, good acting. Mickey's there. Kids go nuts for that show. But then after that, we still have a Toontown. And we still have Mickey's house and Minnie's house. And it's not just the temporary structured version that Florida had, which is, of course, now, Storybook Circus?
Right.
Yeah, that's about where it is, sure.
Yeah, it roughly. So we still have Mickey's house, which has the Mickey Mouse meet and greet, although you will actually find the characters, Mickey included, all over the park. They're, in fact, little side tangent, that's one of the things I really love about Disneyland, as opposed to Walt Disney World. The characters are just, it feels very organic. It feels like the characters live here. because you walk into the park and there's Goofy over by Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln, and there's Mickey over by Walt's apartment. And, you know, there are some designated areas for characters, but it's not as structured, I guess. It's very common just to see the characters walking around. They're not guarded in this with like the same kind of cast member attendant, like Secret Service detail that they have in Florida. It's a lot more free. So that's really cool. But you'll see those characters, they're back in Toontown because, of course, that's where they live. So there's Mickey's house and Minnie's house and Donald's boat. And I think there's Goofy's house. Chippendale's treehouse, yes. There's all kinds of great things. And Toontown is so awesome here because almost everything is interactive. Like, if you see a doorknob that doesn't say cast members only, then pull on it because something funny will happen. And there's a little sound effect. And, you know, there's the Roger Rabbit ride.
Roger Rabbit's cartoon spin. Absolutely. It's back.
I love Roger Rabbit. Yeah. And it does justice to the movie. It's very, very cool. And, you know, that's one of my favorite queues in all of Disneyland is the Roger Rabbit queue. Because if you know the movie and you love the movie, there's a lot of throwbacks. And not necessarily interactive pieces, but things that are just fun to watch and observe and listen to. You know, characters talking and scruffling behind a door, or Jessica Rabbit's silhouette walking past a backlit window kind of thing. Just a lot of funny little stuff like that. So, and little things written all over the walls that some of them tie into Disney history, and some of them are just funny little in-jokes. But it's a wonderful little area of the park.
So cool to hear, because I tell you, Roger was really the only reason I was going to make the journey back to Toontown. So good to hear.
Oh, there's that, and there's so much more. But that's a great – if that's what gets you there, that's fantastic. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So after we're finished with Toontown, there's no connecting path, so we're just going to have to walk back. And let's see. We would go back and probably hit the Adventureland area. Adventureland and Frontierland are sort of right beside the entrances to both lands are right beside each other. So Adventureland is my absolute favorite land because, well, it has my favorite rides. My absolute favorite ride is Pirates of the Caribbean. Mm-hmm. So, and a lot of people have talked about, you know, California's Pirates versus Florida's Pirates and our mansion versus your mansion in Florida and all that. And I will say, and I think a lot of people will probably agree with me, our Pirates is better, but your mansion is better. So come out and check out Pirates first of all. Then go ride it again because you'll want to see it again. There's so much to see. There's extra little bonus scenes at the end, and a lot of great little set pieces at the beginning of it as well. The middle of the ride is pretty much identical from Florida to California. I think, right, Sam? There aren't many differences.
The town?
Yeah.
The auction scene, those things are pretty much mm-hmm. the same.
All those things are. Now, occasionally, Johnny Depp will apparently dress up as Jack Sparrow and come out to the ride, and I wish I had been there that day. But apart from that, it's pretty much the middle of the sandwich is pretty much the same thing. The bread is a little different. Mm-hmm. So, I love Pirates for that.
Okay, well, let me before you move from the Pirates, then it does have the two lines. Florida now has Fast Pass going right, and I think Standby is to the left. So there really isn't a choice. California, we have a choice. Which way do you think is the best choice?
You know, I used to be a lefty. I'm a righty now, but I don't think it makes much of a difference anymore. And the reason for that is the right side used to be shorter. And I think Disney realized that more people were going to the right because it was shorter, and they actually made the right side longer so that it matches the overall length.
There you go.
So now
the way to go is left because everybody still thinks going right is the better way to go.
I mean, why not? Knock yourself out.
Playing head games now.
You know what? If you go to the left, and this is different, if you go to the left, you'll go, if the line is long enough, and it usually is, you'll go alongside the building and come back around. And when you come back around, there's windows and doors that lead directly to the inside of the ride. And it's fun to knock on the windows and the doors, and the people on the other side will probably knock back. And that's a fun little, you know, little shave and a hair.
Oh, cool. That's something to do online.
Exactly. Nice. It's something to do online. Yes, exactly.
It's a little different than the Florida interactives, but it still counts.
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. And I don't know if Florida does this, but when you get into the actual show building, before you get onto the ride, you can see the boats coming around with people who are just about to exit. And you can see each boat has a different woman's name on the boat. And it's fun to just kind of see the boats and go, oh, there's Rachel. Oh, there's Raquel. There's Mona. You know, like you see them every now and then. You just see them coming around. Right. And they, you know, it's the other thing that I will say about our Pirates ride is it's not exactly Splash Mountain, but you just might get wet. And don't sit in the front row unless you, just don't sit in the front row. But apart from that, it's such a great experience. Oh, I remember what I was going to say about the last thing about our Pirates as opposed to Florida's. So we have all these extra kind of bonus scenes at the beginning, you know, all the different skeletons that are doing all these fun little pirate things that when, and you know, a couple of the scenes are similar to Florida, but we have more of them. I'm not going to tell you where it is. I'm not going to tell you which one it is, but one of the skulls on one of the skeletons is a real skull.
Oh, okay. Cool. So now that's known about and still there, though? That's kind of an odd thing.
Right? It's kind of interesting and macabre, but it's still there. And I will, if you really want to know which one it is, I will leave it to you and your listeners to Google it, and it's very easy to find. But, yeah, there's a real one there.
Does he have a name?
I don't think so. Maybe, but I'm not aware of what it is.
Right, that seems like something that someone would want to say hello to, like you're saying, you know, hey, George, or whatever.
Yeah, well, who's the ghost that everyone says good morning to when they open up the Florida ride every morning?
Was that George?
George.
Yeah.
George. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. So I don't think we have a George, necessarily. Actually, maybe the ghost of George, maybe his skull
that's
is
the
in
real
California,
skull.
And it's the ghost of Florida.
There you go.
It all ties together.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So there's Pirates, and Pirates, when you exit the ride, dumps you out into New Orleans Square. We don't have Liberty Square. We have New Orleans Square, which is very different. It's a lot more, and a lot of things in Disneyland are kind of like this. It's a lot more close into you. I feel like the walkways in Florida are a mile and a half wide, and they have to be because they have to accommodate thousands of tourists. Here, we don't necessarily have that. You know, the walkways are thinner, especially in New Orleans Square. There's some winding little streets. You're not going to get lost, but you feel like you could get lost. It's very, very cool. It's very well done. You can actually see the Dream Suite just above Pirates of the Caribbean. So, you know, like when they used to be able to win a night in the castle in Florida. Our equivalent of that was they built the Dream Suite here in California. So you'll see that. Occasionally, I guess, VIPs get access to stay in there. We don't really have a sweepstakes to be able to win a night there anymore, but it's still there. It's kind of cool. But from New Orleans Square, well, you know, at this point in the day, because we started out in Fantasyland and we did Toontown, we did Pirates, it's probably about lunchtime, right?
Sure.
So you're probably going to be a little hungry, and there's a couple really good options around you if you're in New Orleans Square. There's the Blue Bayou restaurant, which is the one that a lot of people have probably heard of before. I have not eaten at Blue Bayou yet. As many times as I've been to Disneyland, and I've been there quite a few, I will typically go to Cafe Orleans instead.
Now, real quick, I'm sorry to break in there, but the Blue Bayou, that's the restaurant inside the Pirates ride?
Yes.
It is. And it's kind of funny because it's right inside of Pirates. And if you've ever ridden El Rio de Tiempo in Mexico in Epcot, you'll know exactly what it looks like because it looks just like that.
Oh,
it's almost it's the New Orleans carbon copy of the Mexico entrance to that ride.
Sure.
And is it dark in there, too, just like that?
Yes, it is inch for inch the same kind of thing, just different theming. But, no, I'm sure Blue Bayou is great, but for my money, I'm going to go in for the Monte Cristo sandwich. And
very good.
Exactly. All accounts that I have heard, and I can tell you from my personal experience, the one at Cafe Orleans is absolutely scrumptious. You can't go wrong. And it's easier to get a table in Cafe Orleans as opposed to Blue Bayou. So there's that, too.
So that's a sit-down also?
That is also a sit-down, yes. Mm-hmm. And you just walk up and you can make reservations through the app as well, but I have never had a problem just, you know, walking up and making a little, you know, putting my name on the list, and 5 minutes later your buzzer buzzes and you're sitting down and well on your way to eating way too much bread and cheese. So
is that a buzzer they gave you, or did they text you, or how did that work to walk up?
No, they gave you a buzzer.
Okay.
Yeah, we are still on buzzer technology. So
did you have to stay nearby, or could you wander a little bit?
You could wander a little bit, but not too much. I wish they gave you more range, because there are some really cool little small shops around New Orleans Square. And everyone tosses this word around, quaint. It's all quaint. It's very, and it is, you know, because it's not built to handle thousands of tourists at a time. You walk into like the little crystal shop, and there's not a lot of, you couldn't fit 100 people in there. You couldn't fit 30 people comfortably, but it's fun to just walk in there and kind of look around. There's a Pirates, it's not a gift shop, but it's a Pirates themed shop, and it's right next door to the Mansion themed shop. And those are kind of small. There's another shop that's in New Orleans Square, and I don't know the name of it right offhand, but I mean, we all know that you're supposed to look up when you go into a lot of these shops, because the theming is just fantastic and it's all around you. There's one shop in New Orleans Square. You walk in, you look up at the ceiling, and there's a suitcase attached to the top of the ceiling. It's almost like something out of Mary Poppins in that one scene that they're all flooding around the ceiling.
Yep, the uncle or something. Yeah.
Yes, yes. Look around for the suitcase on the ceiling. You will find it. It's pretty cool.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. So I love New Orleans Square for that, just because you can wander around a little bit, and it's just a beautifully themed little area. But there's those really good restaurants there too. There's also the French Market, where you can get beignets, and they are always delicious. Depending on when you go in the season, they have I think pumpkin flavored beignets around Halloween time. They have peppermint beignets around Christmas. Right now it's just the plain old powdered sugared, way over sugared and sweetened beignets, but those are good. There's also the mint julep bar right there. It's all right there in that little area of New Orleans Square. And it's one of my favorite little areas there. It's really cool.
It sounds like so much in that little area. Great.
It really is. That's what you're going to love about this place, is everything is just built in to go right next to each other. It's like I said, it's a jigsaw puzzle. It has to be. And the other thing that you'll notice, and I should have said this at first, nothing is where it's supposed to be if you go to Florida. You know, if you know Florida parks, you're going to be completely lost. And it took me a long time to figure out where everything is. I feel like I just got a handle on the place. So yeah, there's that. But sort of at the edge of New Orleans Square, since we're around this area now, I mean, you have to go hit Mansion, right?
Oh, sure.
Haunted Mansion is basically next to it. It's right there.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of right next to everything. So the Mansion is smaller than Florida, but it's different, and I still like it. Some of the scenes that you will walk through in the queue line, you are used to actually being in your Doom buggy floating past in Florida's Mansion. So a lot of the same show elements are there, but they're organized a little bit differently, if that makes sense. The exterior is completely different. You know, of course, there's no secret. We have the sort of plantation house versus the much cooler exterior that they have in Florida. But it is exactly what Walt wanted. You know, the cast members take care of the outside and the ghosts take care of the inside here. That's just how it works.
It's cool when I go on Mansion there, because I remember back to the original concepts, the entire thing was a walk-through attraction. That's how it started. And when I'm walking through that first sort of hallway, I'm realizing that, wait a minute, when I'm in Florida, I'm sitting in my dune buggy riding through here, but now I'm walking through it, and it kind of makes you realize what it could have been if it was a walk-through.
That's true.
Are you talking the hallway in the beginning with the lightning?
The hallway in the beginning with the lightning in the
and pictures the pictures on
change.
The wall. Oh, yes. Okay.
You walk, yeah, past yeah. Them. You walk down a hall with those things on them.
Mm-hmm. Well, you even get before up really that, close. Even before that, and I know you know this, Sam. I know you love this. You go into the stretching room, and when the room begins to stretch, you actually feel the floor lowering.
Yep.
It's not just the ceiling stretch. It's not just an effect. Like, this is a functional reason. You feel the floor descending. You feel that engine underneath you kind of vibrating. And that's
cool.
Oh, that's just cool. I love that.
And that's where the nerdiness comes, because I've been hearing about that floor for how many years from the Haunted Mansion in Florida, where, you know what, it's the effect that it's really kind of falling down, but it's not. But California does, so definitely.
Right.
And the same with pirates. The same with pirates. That drop in pirates is literally because they're going under the tracks.
You got it.
Florida, it was just for fun.
Well, and out here, you have not one, but two drops at the beginning.
You get the second little push. You get a little surprise there. You think you're down, and they're like, wait a minute.
Well, and it's interesting because out here, the first drop is... You just drop, you know, so you start out in the Blue Bayou area and you're very clearly in a swamp kind of scene. They build it up very, very well. The theming is incredible. And you go down the first drop, and that's the one that, sorry, but you're going to get wet. And suddenly you're underneath the tree roots and you see these little roots sticking down from the ceiling. You know, for you, it's the ceiling, but, you know, so you're one level down under the ground, and that's when you start to hear the jaunty yo ho ho, a pirate's life for me, all that. And then you go down one more level, and now we're very subterranean, and now we're in the inner caves of the earth and the seedy underbelly of the pirate world, and the music changes and the lighting changes, and if there aren't boatloads of annoying teenagers, no one's screaming anymore, and the sound is a lot more, you know, subdued. And sorry, we just had grad nights, so I'm used to screaming teenagers around here. I think that the whole feel of our pirates is just, again, it's not necessarily better or worse, but it's different. Yeah.
That's what makes it cool.
Exactly.
Okay. So we're at the Haunted Mansion. We're next to Critter Country. I guess we're going to be going on Splash Mountain.
Well, if you want to get wet, yeah.
Well, in Florida, it's not a definite. It's probably about, I'd say, 50-50 running if you're going to get wet or not. Forgetting that whole first curve you go through. But other than that, the drop itself, California is a lot more sure?
I don't know if it's a lot more sure because I love Splash Mountain. I really do. I love the movie it was derived from. I love the ride itself. I love the characters. I love the music, all that stuff. The last time I rode Space Mountain was, in fact, last July, because so maybe it's just because I was a little traumatized. I don't know. But the last time I rode it, someone put me, and you have to be a little more strategic here, I think. Someone put me in the front of the log. Okay, ooh, I'm 6'4".
The tall guy in the front.
Oh, so you're dipping the front of that thing down.
Now, keep in mind, for those of you in Florida, in California, Splash Mountain is single file.
Single file. So 6'4 guy is in the very front of the log. Behind me is a 13-year-old who probably weighs all of 100 pounds, soaking wet, holding the brick.
Didn't get wet at all, I'm sure.
No, but guess who did? Guess who did, Sam?
Yeah, you took all the water for that one.
Very unexpected. The front of the log dipped down into the water, and it came back up and carried just a small lake with it.
Oh, wow.
And at that point, it was very late at night, and it was getting a little chilly, and I thought, okay, I'm done for the day. So as much as I love Splash Mountain, I haven't been on it in quite a while. But if it's about the middle of the day, and if you don't get in the front of the log, I absolutely recommend going on Splash Mountain. Which will lead you to Winnie the Pooh. And Winnie the Pooh is interesting out here.
Very.
It's different from Florida. Everything's different from Florida. I actually like Florida's Winnie the Pooh better because I like Florida's Queue better. There's all that fun stuff to do, and I love doing that.
Yep.
Yeah, right? Like, we don't have that, unfortunately. Yeah, we don't have the honey screens. I wish we had the honey screens. I miss the honey screens.
Okay, but of the times I've been there, Steve, I've never actually waited longer than 5 minutes to ride Winnie the Pooh. Nobody seems to make it back there. It's like a walk-on almost.
Well, and it's because it's really, especially right now, it's really tucked back there, and there hasn't until very recently been a walkway to get you from there conveniently to any other area of the park. So not a lot of people walked back there.
Sure, almost a dead end.
It was literally a dead end for a long time. But the cool thing about Winnie the Pooh, regardless of whether it's a dead end or not, so we don't have, and I really wish we did, but we don't have the Country Bears. I love the Country Bear Jamboree. It's one of my must-dos in Florida.
You don't have Country Bears in California? I would have thought that would have been like the ultimate. You can never not have that. Wow.
Well, you replaced it years ago.
I missed that. Yeah, you know what Country Bears are called now? They're called Winnie the Pooh. But here's what's awesome about Winnie the Pooh. Not only is it, you know, it's a fun ride anyways, but it's a very similar track. It's not identical to Florida, but it's extremely similar. And once you get past the Heffalump scene in the California ride, look directly up and behind you, because directly up and behind you will be those three. And Sam, you'll have to help me out with their names.
Country Bears. But I don't know this.
The guys from the moose, the deer, the buffalo.
Yeah, Buff and whoever, those three guys, they're still there mounted on the wall, but your ride vehicle is going in opposite direction. So unless you look up and behind you, you'll miss them. But they left them there, maybe an homage to the replaced Country Bear ride. Because as far as I've talked to anyone who lives here, no one was impressed that Winnie the Pooh took over the Country Bears area. Everybody loved not only that show, but apparently there was a great restaurant right around there too that got taken down, like a great barbecue place that, I mean, locals who've been coming here for years are still grumbling that it's gone. like, dude, get over it. It's not coming back. But
that says a lot.
But in any case, Winnie the Pooh is definitely something you have to hit out here. And the good thing about when you come out here is I mentioned that Winnie the Pooh is kind of a dead end area. Until very recently, they just opened a walkway to take you over and around over to Big Thunder Mountain. And our Big Thunder is it's always a great ride. I love the Florida version of it as well. The California version was refurbished very recently, and it's very smooth. The lines are usually not all that long. It's definitely fast passable, but even if there's not a fast pass, depending on what time of day and what day of the week, it can be a 20-minute wait, which is, you know, in Disney terms, nothing. That's nothing. I love going on Big Thunder. And I can actually fit in almost any car. Again, 6'4", usually need a little bit of leg room. I can always fit in Big Thunder, so that's fine.
The special effects on the third lift heel are amazing.
I think aren't I saw they some though? Of those, right? The explosives.
Yes.
It's so cool.
I was so disappointed when they didn't add it to Walt Disney World after it opened from refurb. It was disappointing because I had seen it in Disneyland. It's awesome.
Right, and you would have thought they could have done that in Disney World. It's like they actually went backwards in Disney World on that hill.
Right.
Because nothing, I think, moves up there anymore. Now, Disney World Big Thunder is an incredible ride at night. Am I going to get the same feeling in California?
You're going to get the same kind of feel. Again, a little different, but the nice thing right now, especially on Big Thunder, is, well, you can see the construction for Star Wars Land. So if you're interested in that,
the updates,
then you've got that going for you.
Nice. Yeah. From the lift heels, or where can you see it?
Yeah, from the lifts.
Got it.
Yeah, and the buildings at the very end of that ride are taken from the original Mine Train ride. So a little bit of Disney history stuck around for Big Thunder Mountain.
That's cool.
Yeah, you see, that's great. Because every corner you're going around, you're seeing a little bit of the 50s, 60s Disneyland. That's great.
Yeah, they do a good job of, I mean, we want to modernize. We want to keep moving forward, as Walt would say. You know, it's not a museum, but there are a lot of homages to the Disneyland that was, and a lot of nods to history all throughout the park. I love that.
Okay, well, we're going to head over to Tomorrowland, but before we get there,
Tomorrowland or Adventureland?
Oh, okay.
How are you going to cut?
Well, I do kind of have a question about Adventureland, so I guess we can kind of go through there on the way
back.
Yeah,
we kind of skimmed Adventureland, didn't we? Wow.
Okay. I just kept thinking so of Indiana Jones, about. But, you know, I'll let you take it.
Yeah, no, I know. Okay, anyways, what?
Well, I was going to ask about the Tarzan Treehouse.
Well, yeah, it's right along the way.
Is that comparable to Swiss Family Robinson?
It is exactly that, yes.
It used to be Swiss Family Treehouse, and it was refurbished.
Oh, never mind.
Ooh, it was Swiss Family.
Okay, I don't know how much time you'll have when you're out here, but if we have time to get out and about a little bit, I will take you just a few blocks away from the park over on West Street to the actual tree that Walt first saw as the inspiration to the Swiss Family Treehouse. I forget the actual species and genus of the tree, but it's still there. It's gigantic. And you look at it and you go, oh, yeah, that's the Swiss Family Treehouse.
That would have worked.
It's a real tree. It didn't get transplanted, but it's just in the middle of a neighborhood. And if you know where it is, it's cool to, you know, just to kind of go up and take a picture with it as a Disney fan. But
very cool.
Yeah, so the Swiss Family Treehouse has kind of become the Tarzan Treehouse, but it's the same kind of thing. And is it the same organ music? It's been forever since I've been up there, so I don't remember that. But there's a lot of fun little things to beat on and musical instruments and stuff at the very end of the ride, too. So that's fun. You should absolutely do that. That'll take you 10 minutes, if not that, because there's never a line for it.
Yep.
But then right next door to that, as you mentioned, Sam, is the Indiana Jones ride.
You're looping around now and coming back towards the hub.
Yeah, we've kind of looped back a little bit, and we're kind of going back and hitting some things that we definitely should not be missing. So, and the Indy ride is, well, it's Dinosaur. You know, it's the same exact track, and that's not a big secret. You might have to be a little strategic as to what time of day you hit this ride, because this
fast
is still
pass,
one that
fast
has
pass, fast pass.
Yeah, this one still gets a little long. And in fact, it's one of the Jungle Cruise jokes, because Jungle Cruise is right next door to Indiana Jones. So one of the jokes is, you know, look at all the people waiting in line. And there's something that's really clever and silly there that I won't give away. But yeah, Indy is great. It's a great ride. It's one of the best and most beautiful queues that you'll go through in Disneyland.
And longest.
Oh, man, it feels like you walked all the way home.
Well,
yeah,
I think you did, to your house. You might have.
To my house, you could probably get there, yeah. But no, it's really a great ride. It is really tucked back away there. Ooh, and another little piece of Disney history. The Indiana Jones ride was built on what was formerly a parking lot area. I believe it was for the Eeyore area. And just before you turn left to go into the ride from the queue line area, if you look back behind you, and you can probably ask one of the cast members about this and they'll point it out to you, there is an old sign tucked in there from the Eeyore parking lot area.
That's cool.
Yeah, yeah, but it's very well disguised, so you might need a little help finding it. But it's cool. So yeah, Indy is a great ride. Once you get off of Indy, definitely go on the Jungle Cruise. Why would you not go on the Jungle Cruise?
Oh, of course.
It's a different Jungle Cruise, too, by the way.
It's a different Jungle Cruise. A kinder Jungle Cruise. No. So it's a lot of fun. We don't have every single element, but of course we have the backside
of water. Side of water, yes. Sure. Well, Weird Al told us that.
Yes, exactly. So but there's another cool little thing. Right before you go into the queue for the Jungle Cruise, if you look up, again, you should always look up at Disney. If you look up, you'll see a green glass elephant. And he's kind of just disguised in there with all the different set pieces. He looks like he's something that completely fits in with the Amazonian artifact kind of, you know, theme of the Jungle Cruise. But that glass elephant was made in the 1920s. It spent decades on Main Street in between, was it the ice cream shop and some other shop there on Main Street. And when they remodeled a lot of Main Street, they were going to get rid of this thing that had been around forever. And some of the cast members said, no, we can't throw this thing away. What are you doing? And they said, well, where do you want to put it? And someone got the idea of, well, throw it up by the Jungle Cruise area. It'll look good up there. So they kind of disguised it. But if you look up sort of the archway before you go into the Jungle Cruise, you'll see this green glass elephant, and he is a real piece of Disney history.
That's cool. Nice.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And since we've just gotten off the Jungle Cruise, we might as well go around to the Tiki Room, right?
Well,
of course.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, now, yeah.
Now, I heard, and this is one place that I have, someone told me about, and you have the Dole Whips attached to the Tiki Room?
The Dole Whip stand, okay, this is, ooh, I'm glad you brought this up. This is a good point. So, when you walk around toward the Tiki Room, you'll see a very long line of people. A very long line of people. None of those people are waiting for the Tiki Room. Don't get in that line unless you want to get a Dole Whip, because that's the line for the Dole Whip. The Tiki Room just has a big standing area right in front of its entrance. You will get into the next show. It doesn't matter when you walk up there. You will get into the next show. But stay around before you walk in, because there's a fun little scene between all the Tiki gods.
Which
and they
really
kind of introduce
cool.
themselves. It's yes. really, really cool.
It's
yeah,
a
and it's a lot
basically.
Of those. It's a pre-show. And there's a lot of those classic Disney voice artists, you know, Paul Frees, Thurl Ravenscroft, all those guys. They're all doing something with that little area. And of course, by all means, get a Dole Whip. But
because now you're getting a Dole Whip in a different line that isn't attached to that outside line that went around the corner. There's a separate line if you're in the queue.
There are two lines for the Dole Whips. That's right. Most people do not realize this. The big long line, that's the one that's curving around the edge of Adventureland. But if you walk into the standing area for the Tiki Room, there's a separate line, and it's way shorter. So if you want a Dole Whip, go to that one.
And then take it in with you.
And then take it in with you, by all means, of course. And if you're lucky, you'll get to see the Tiki Room emceed by a cast member named Maynard. If you're listening right now, and if you've ever seen Maynard do the Tiki Room spiel, I mean, he's a part of Disneyland, I don't know, history, but he's an attraction unto himself. He's just the coolest cast member ever. He used to be a Haunted Mansion butler, and he had this character nailed, you know, just that stone-faced, but still would say things that were just so hilarious, you know? and he does the same kind of thing. He gets into like the Tiki mood, and he has these character voices that he does. If you see Maynard really anywhere in Disneyland, stop and say hi, take a picture with him. He will love that. He thrives on that. He's so cool.
Very cool.
So
nice.
So, but Maynard is typically found working over at the Tiki Room area. So I think okay, we've done.
Now we gotta cut across the hub.
Before we get away from Adventureland, I have one Dole Whip question. I've seen a couple videos of the Dole Whip over in California, and they're shaking something on it. What are they shaking on the top of it? Any idea?
Oh, yeah.
Like an orangey type of stuff? And I can't remember what it was or what flavor. Like what's the deal? Because we don't have
it. Oh, no, I know. And and someone is screaming into their phone right now because they know what it's called. But number one, it's free. But if you ask for like the little, it's spicy. I can tell you that. So if you ask for the, yes.
Does that sound right?
Yes, that sounds right. So if you ask for tahini, they will give you a little packet of it. It's free, and you can sprinkle it on your Dole Whip. There's a little fruit stand there also over closer to the Jungle Cruise where they sell like pineapple spears, and it's really good on that. It really brings out that flavor, but. If you like spicy stuff, which I'm particularly not a fan of, but even I can stomach it, and I don't like really spicy stuff, but this is still tasty. It's just not what I would always personally pick, but they do have it there. And side note, if you are of age and of interest, over by the Disneyland Hotel, there is a coffee shop built into the Disneyland Hotel, which I believe every day until 4 p.m. will make you a Dole Whip with a little splash of rum in it. And it's a little different kind of flavor to it.
Nice.
So if you're interested in that. But in any case, we find ourselves back around the Tiki Room here. So we've done that.
You're cutting
now,
through the hub.
You gotta
and I'm
that.
Making you stop at the Red Wagon is where I'm making you stop, Steve.
Now, Sam... Why would you be making a stop at the Red Wagon, I wonder?
Because we are getting a Disneyland corn dog from the corn dog stand.
That's just about the only place you should get a corn dog, yes.
That's a must-do at the end of Main Street, the Red Corn Dog Stand, which doesn't open until 11-ish.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, but that's a perfect stop.
Okay, which really, awesome. Why would you get a corn dog for... Okay, some people might get a corn dog for breakfast, but... Most of us can
I
probably stand
to
wait until...
I had a plane to catch. That was another story. Okay. I was disappointed.
As odd as that is, Casey's has a breakfast corn dog. It's some type of sausage combination they do with the breakfasts in Magic Kingdom now in Florida.
Ooh. Yes, since they've gotten rid of our morning show there, Steve. That's absolutely right.
You're kidding. So,
yeah. Yes. Yeah, and it might be...
No, that's so sad. All right, but you know what?
Keep going.
I'm glad you mentioned Casey's, though. I'm glad you mentioned Casey's because, okay, we don't have Casey's necessarily, but we do have an equivalent called the Coca-Cola Corner. And there's a few things while we're just around that corn dog cart that we might as well talk about. Number one, the Coca-Cola Corner has a Coca-Cola lamp just above the entrance that's made out of Tiffany glass, and it's one of the only ones that's still around. It's an original set piece, I think, from the opening of Disneyland. And it's just this beautiful red lamp. It says Coca-Cola, very well kept. But all around that lamp are these red and white light bulbs, and they kind of go around almost like Christmas lights, you know, where they blink on and off, and they it feels like when you're watching it, it looks a little directional, like it's going around in a circle. And while you're there, you should pay attention to those lights and look at each and every one. Look at the colors because they alternate red, white, red, white, red, white, all the way around. But the problem is they didn't necessarily plan it all that well, because when you get to the end of the circle, because of the alternating pattern, it was either going to go red, red, or white, white. And they couldn't make it work. So they took one light bulb and they painted half of it red and the other half of it is white. And it is screwed in perfectly angular, so it looks like it continues the pattern.
Nice. That sounds like a definite solution from the day.
Right. I mean, you got to make it work. But not only that, the reason I love going to the Coca-Cola Corner is not because they have great hot dogs. It's not because you can get a bread bowl full of mac and cheese. It is, in fact, because you can get quite possibly one of the best snacks in all of Walt Disney World, that being the jalapeno cheese-filled pretzel. And I just said a little bit ago, I can even rewind the podcast and listen to me saying,
you don't
I
like
don't
spicy.
Like really hot stuff. Right.
Yeah, I thought I heard you say that. Okay.
Okay, here's the thing. This is not spicy. This pretzel is not spicy at all. You bite into it, and it tastes a little green, like something like kind of green pepper is in it, but it is not hot. If you don't like spicy food, that's fine. Get the jalapeno cheese-filled pretzel, because the only reason that they use the word jalapeno in it is because if they didn't, everybody would be buying these things. It's absolutely delicious. You must get one while you're there at Casey's. I mean, at the Coca-Cola Corner. See there, I'm still okay. In Florida mode there. But so you get your pretzel, you get your corn dog, and now we've got to go over to Tomorrowland.
I might go into the Holly Jolly Bakery, but let's go to Tomorrowland.
Well, okay, we can. Yeah, there's always that too. And if you want a good grilled cheese and tomato soup, that's where you go, is Holly Jolly Bakery. But so let's brave the bottleneck that's always there for some reason. When you're getting into Tomorrowland, I don't know why, but it's probably the worst area to walk through. It's always congested. Doesn't matter what time of day, but you get through it. But that's where a lot of the other fun stuff. I mean, you have Buzz, you have Star Tours. Star Tours is in Tomorrowland. Here, it's not, well, we don't have four parks to spread things out. So Star Tours is kind of built into just the fabric of Tomorrowland. There's no big Star Wars-y kind of set pieces jutting out at you. You just know where it is and you go in. And when you go in, it's the same show when you sit in the shuttle and all that kind of stuff. That's fun. Mm-hmm. Just the exterior is a bit different.
Did Do they have the same type of queue?
They do have a very similar kind of queue. Yes, it's not identical, but it's extremely similar. It might as well be the same thing.
Right, right.
So yeah, that's fun.
And that's roughly where the laugh floor is in Florida.
I was about
sort
to say.
Of walking through, yep. Yeah.
Yeah. If you're if you're equating it to that kind of map, yeah. And just across the way from that is the Buzz Ride. I love the Buzz Ride.
Wait, which is different and I think better than Florida.
I do all right because I aim right for the sternum on the Zurg character. There's not a target right there, but if you hit him right in the sternum, you will get a pretty hefty number of points there. But that's a fun ride. And let's see, next to that, well, you have, of course, there's Space Mountain. Ooh, and let's talk about Space Mountain for a little bit, because I think by the time you get out here, so it's been something a little different than just classic Space Mountain for a long time.
I can hear by the way your voice is going, you're going to be saying that the change is a great thing, but keep on going.
It is a great thing. But
I wanted to see Star Wars.
Well, it used to be a Star Wars themed kind of Space Mountain.
Hyperspace Mountain is what they call it.
It was Hyperspace Mountain, yes. Yeah. It is going back to classic Space Mountain, and it's going back to classic Space Mountain in like record time. Like it's going to be done by the time you get here in July. So that'll be fun. The line, and that's another one that you will probably want to strategically fast pass because, boy, that line is just so long all the time. Mm-hmm. It's funny, you know, the rides in Florida that have the longest lines, you know, Soarin', Toy Story Mania, there's a couple of, but those rides out here are 20-minute lines. They're wow. A non-issue. But Hyperspace Mountain, always a huge line. I don't know why or what's the difference, but yeah. So you'll definitely want to get a fast pass for that one earlier in the day.
Mm-hmm.
We have a really cool little like miniature film here. We have the Captain EO theater. You know, we don't have Captain EO anymore. Does Florida still have Captain EO?
No, Captain EO.
They had for a while, but then yeah, they finally went away.
What are they doing now?
Pixar shorts.
Oh, okay.
I'll have three Pixar shorts that you go in and take a look at.
And
it's,
all right.
What's cool about it, too, though, is the pre-show for it is all Pixar and how the company came about and stuff like that. So it's kind of a cool little documentary and then into the theater then.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
What's going on in that theater in Disneyland?
So here they have a little miniature film called Path of the Jedi. And
we have that over there.
Yeah. And it's cool because it's a little synopsis of, you know, episode 1 through 6. Yeah. And it uses the same kind of 4D effects that the Captain EO theater used. So, you know, some of the laser blasts, the floor raises up a little bit and there's some lighting effects. You feel it's very immersive. It's very cool. I've only done it one time, but it was so much fun. So there's that right over by Hyperspace Mountain. So another big long line sometimes is the Nemo ride over in Epcot, right?
Right, okay.
So that is what we have adapted our 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea submarines for. So when you go on that ride, which is right over by the monorail area in Tomorrowland, you'll see a lot of the same kind of scenes. Some of them are completely different, but a lot of them, you'll look at that and go, okay, that's very reminiscent of what I'm used to in Florida. But all the subs are still there. It's like, I think Disney, I don't know the exact ranking, but I'm going to say Disneyland's submarine fleet is one of the 10 largest submarine fleets mm-hmm. in the world. Like, it's actually ranked like that. How
some
crazy
weird stat.
Is that?
It is cool. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But that's a really fun ride. I don't do that one all the time, but it's absolutely worth it. It's so much fun. They did a really good job with it.
And to me, it's not the biggest thrill ride in the world, but that was one of my favorites down in Florida. And when they took that out of there, this is a must-do for us coming up. So I can't wait for this one.
Oh, it's going to be fun. And then, of course, you have to ride the Autopia right there, too.
Well, I was going to ask you that then next. Okay, so it's myself and my adult son – riding Artopia, it's still going to be a fun ride?
Absolutely.
Oh, you have to do it. Yes.
Okay, awesome. Awesome. Now, I did see some commercials going on for Asimov or Asimo. Who's the Honda robot? He's on the Autopia course now, and you have little like vignettes of I think it's Asimov,
almost like the author, right?
Oh, I didn't even think of it that way. Maybe that's where I'm going. Well, anyway, yeah. They have little vignettes of him standing there with a car, or him standing there doing some other type of stuff.
Huh.
And I thought that was kind of a cool thing, worth getting on Autopia for seeing something like that. So
yeah, no, it's cool. Been a couple months since I've been on there, but I mean, you're here, you have to do it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, and it's of course updated from, you know, back in the old days of Disneyland, but it's still you know, it's there. You've got to do it when you're in Disneyland, because I don't think we really have that in Florida. What you can afford to skip in Tomorrowland is the Star Wars exhibit, like what it's like the path, not Path of the Force, but it's the same kind of Star Wars display that they have at Hollywood Studios.
It's the launch bay.
Right.
Yeah. The launch bay. Yeah. I mean, if it's a really hot day, you can go in and get some air conditioning, but, it's the same kind of experience that they have out in Florida.
Mm-hmm. I always like to see what's new, though, what they're pushing next.
Oh, yeah.
Especially with the new movie coming out. You never know what kind of good gadgets they start pushing out. And I think it was during the summer for the last Star Wars movie, they started putting stuff out in the parks. So.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah. So that, I think.
So all of that said, you missed one thing.
I know.
And I was going to ask you about this one thing, too.
Which yeah, I may yeah. put earlier in the day, right before Small World, actually. But go ahead.
You know, here's why I wouldn't.
Okay, tell
because
me.
Because I just had this experience a couple weeks ago, going out with a few friends, and we got fast passes for the Matterhorn. Mm-hmm. And once we got our fast passes, round about 10 at night or so, we could almost walk on to the Matterhorn, having just gotten our fast passes.
Wow.
So save it. You know what? It's and Disneyland at night is just magical. You know, there's just a different feeling about it. It's the same kind of thing, you know, in Florida, you know, the parks are different at night. Mm-hmm. Here it's the same kind of thing, but because Disneyland is just inherently different from Florida, Disneyland at night is also very different. And when you get to go on a roller coaster that takes you up and around and gives you a lot of high up views of the park, because you're weaving in and out of this mountain, a mountain which, by the way, still has a moving Yeti in it. I'm gonna jam that one in there. So
it's not yeah. a Yeti. It's the is it a Yeti?
Bigfoot.
It's called a Yeti.
Yeah, I thought it was Bigfoot or an abominable snowman too. Or something like that. It's,
oh no, I like abominable snowman. That sounds
yeah. Better. No, it's but
he does, and it is very impressive.
Very well,
very
animated,
impressive.
Yeah,
recently redone, by the way. That one and the Hatbox Ghost over in Haunted Mansion, which you'll stumble into that one. Those are two wonderful animatronics that were part of the 60th,
absolutely.
If I remember right, which was last year.
Yes, yeah. It was. They concluded the 60th just last year. But here's the cool thing about the Matterhorn is there are two separate tracks to it. And I believe the right-hand side, which is also the Fast Pass side, is a little less intense, if we're going to go with Disney terminology there. The left-hand side is a little bit more intense, but as far as like twists and turns and things like that. But you still get to see the Yeti animatronic. And you see him a couple times. He's very impressive. And the Matterhorn is really cool in its use of sound effects, because it sounds like this thing could be around just about any corner that you turn around.
Yeah.
And when you see him, it's equally shocking, because you're ready to see him. You're ready. Oh, and there he is, you know. And so it kind of plays some fun little mind games. It ends kind of going through a little lake, and there's a little water splash. You're not really going to get wet on it. But it's not a ride that I would wait in an extremely long line for. So that's why I say wait till later in the day and then get fast passes for it.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. Now, is that a rough roller coaster or is it smooth?
You know, it used to be very rough.
That's maybe what I was thinking of. I heard
from
that.
From what I've been told. However, my experiences on it have, because they've done an extensive refurb on it, my experiences have been it's very smooth. Now, when you turn a corner, it's gonna turn you a little bit. It's almost like a Primeval World in that sense. When you turn a corner, boy, do you feel it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But it's not rumbly. It's not rickety. It's none of that. It's just it's a smaller roller coaster. You know, it's almost like the like we talked about the logs in Splash Mountain. You're sitting single file. So if you're a taller guy like me, sit in the front of the car, please, for your own sake, sit in the front of the car. But when you're sitting in the front of the car, I have more than enough leg room. I have a great time on the ride. But that is always my strategy for Matterhorn is later on in the day.
Okay, definitely good to keep in mind.
Yeah. And having done all of that, I think besides, you know, just strolling through the shops of Main Street, which are very different from Florida, and you should make it a point to stroll through them because
the
it's not just
arcade.
One.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
The Main Street in California is not just one elongated emporium. Every shop has its own. Well, I mean, it is, right?
Oh, no, no. That's and, what Florida and I'm is. Only laughing because that to me is one of my – the biggest things I'll tell people is if you want to get out of the park, just go through the store.
Right.
And that's what it is, one big, big store.
But each of these little shops have their own character. There is the Penny Arcade. There's the Magic Shop still. Mm, and you nice. Go in the Magic Shop and start talking to the guys who are behind the counter, and they'll start showing you magic tricks and doing little demos and telling you jokes. And by all means, pick up the little old-fashioned telephone on the wall, and you'll hear characters talking on the old-fashioned party line.
Oh, cool.
There's a little Disney, you know, cartoon theater you walk through, and you can see old-timey black and white Disney, you know, silent film cartoons there. And there's a bunch of them to sit there and walk around and watch. We didn't even talk about Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln, which
yeah.
if you've seen Hall of That's Presidents and if you've seen American Adventure, this is kind of that, you know. You'll recognize some elements of both of those shows, but it's one of the shows that I will make it a point to watch at least once a month when I go into the parks because I love the way that they do the show. I love the music in the show, and I just love the connection back to Walt.
Absolutely.
With that show.
Definitely.
You know?
That's another on my list. I have to see it.
Yeah, yeah. And then, of course, find the last thing you have to do before you're done with Disneyland is you've just exited Mr. Lincoln. Walk around the hub and just stop there in front of the firehouse because you look up, and there's the lantern, and it's always lit because that's Walt's apartment, and he's always there.
Very, very nice.
That is it. That's awesome.
Can't wait.
Walt's apartment is absolutely the perfect way to end a day at Disneyland. Looking up and seeing the light on. We all remember the story. When the light was on, Walt was in the park, and the employees knew it. And when the light was off, he wasn't in the park. But ever since 1966, that light's on all the time because Walt's definitely in the park. And, Steve, thank you so much for taking us around Disneyland.
Oh, it was my pleasure.
Ed, I hope this helps for your trip coming up. But we need to get across the street over to DCA. We have Soarin's over there.
It's just across the street. Like, you can see it. It's there.
The California Screamin's over there. Two-Story Mania's over there. There's so many things.
Man.
So what we're going to do is save that for the next time that we head out to Disneyland in California. So thank you so much. And thank you guys for listening to the Disney Nerds Podcast. Remember, you find us on Facebook, the group Disney Nerds, the Disney Nerds Podcast.com, Twitter, Instagram, all that good stuff. Ed, thank you for your time as well. Steve, creator of
Sam.
The MuppetCast, thank you.
Yes. Oh, thank you. No, this is great. And if you're a Muppet fan, you know, all the old episodes are still out there on the MuppetCast. Go to MuppetCast.com. Check out iTunes. Like I said, all the past back episodes are there. All the interviews with all the writers and the performers and producers and all those people who are involved with all that stuff we watched growing up. It's all there. If you have any comments or questions about the Muppets or the Muppet Cast or anything else, my email address is me@MuppetCast.com. And I think that's what I got there.
Thank you guys so much. And with that, see you guys next week. Kongaloosh.
Bye-bye.
Rest in peace. hurry back.